Our scripture today comes from Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm launching a new series, Hope Alive, with a subtitle, Faith in the Aftermath. Last Sunday was a glorious celebration of Jesus' resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Though everyone saw Jesus crucified, God miraculously raised him from the dead. And what an amazing result that means for you and for me. You don't ever want to miss this. On the cross, Jesus won your victory over sin and Satan's power. You are forgiven, redeemed, and from the empty tomb, Jesus won victory over death and the grave. You have resurrection power now and the promise of eternal life. Every Sunday is the celebration of Easter Sunday because of what God has done through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son and our Savior, Jesus. Hope is alive. Amen? Amen. And so today our vision is 2020. Although we have heard the story and read the Gospels and been reminded of all these truths, the earliest disciples did not come to clarity about it all right away. In fact, that first Holy Week had been an emotionally exasperating time. Think about it. Palm Sunday had begun with such hope and great expectation. This is it. Jesus is heading into Jerusalem. Our Messiah is coming. Our long-awaited deliverer from our oppressor, the Romans, is coming to establish his kingdom. What great thing is God going to do? The week began with such expectation and hope, and yet by Friday, the officials had arrested him, mocked and beaten him, flogged him, and then had him crucified on the cross. How could this be? What a sense of disbelief and agony and despair must have come over all of his followers. It was not supposed to have happened like this. And certainly no one experienced it with more depth of perspective than Mary, the mother of Jesus. His disciples had been with Jesus for 3 amazing years, but Mary had been with him throughout his whole life. For her, every step of the way included memories, things to ponder, beginning with the time even before his birth. So, what about Mary's journey can speak to our lives? What about her experience can help us have hope even in the midst of our own difficulties? Well, first of all, we have to know that Mary had great expectations. Post expectations in the chat. Remember way back in the beginning, the angel Gabriel had visited her and told her she was going to give birth to a special child. Luke 1:31, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Think about it. Mary heard these amazing words from the angel Gabriel. Yes, but she also heard amazing things from shepherds, and then from the wise men, and then from Simeon and Anna as Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. And remember the angel in Joseph's dream that led to their fleeing to Egypt. In all these experiences, Mary heard the same thing. Jesus is going to be special. So that by the time of his ministry, when there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, when they ran out of wine, Mary said, in effect, my son Jesus, he is special. Do what he tells you to do. And Jesus turned the water into wine. I imagine Mary had great expectations for Jesus. In fact, every parent has hope-filled expectations for their child. We hope and pray that they will be healthy, smart, well-adjusted, that they will find their niche and their place in the world and make a difference. Mary had great expectations. We do too. I remember my own experience of confirmation growing up. Next week is Confirmation Sunday here at Christ Church. Like here, we had classes then in which we too learned about the church and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then on Confirmation Sunday, we knelt down as the pastor placed his hands upon our heads and prayed much like we do today. And it was a big deal in my family, for my parents, and for me. And I realize now that it was one more means of grace in my life, one more step in which God was working to draw me closer to Him. I pray that God will move upon the hearts and lives of our confirmands next week in a special way. And I always marvel to see them continue to grow up in faith and in their relationship with Jesus. That's every parent's hope-filled expectation for their child. And yet, how do we respond when our expectations aren't always realized? What do we do when our hopes and prayers for our children don't turn out exactly as we'd imagined? What then? I know many parents who live with real pain about that. Life doesn't always turn out the way we anticipate. Sometimes children make choices or decisions we don't want them to make, or circumstances happen in ways we don't want them to. What then? It is a real challenge of faith. And that's what our monthly support group for hurting parents is all about. They meet, in fact, today, this Sunday, with all of that in mind. You or someone you know can join them today at 5 o'clock. A second thing to see from her story, Mary dealt with normal struggles as a parent. Life was no picnic for the wife of a carpenter in Nazareth. They were not an affluent family. The scripture tells us that when Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple, the offering they made was only 2 turtle doves, the offering prescribed for poor families. But there were other children in the family besides Jesus, a houseful, in fact. The scripture in Matthew 13, 55 and 56 mentions 4 additional boys and an unknown number of girls. For the longest time, I was not aware of that. And then, after Jesus' 12th birthday, we don't read any more of Joseph. What happened? Many scholars speculate that he perhaps died young, as did many men back then. Have you ever thought of Mary as a single mother with a house full of children? She probably was. How did she do it? She never remarried. How did she support them? One idea is that perhaps Jesus intentionally delayed the beginning of his ministry until he was 30 in order to help. Maybe Mary needed help raising Jesus' younger siblings. Well, what we do know is that when Jesus was 12, Mary and Joseph had a dust-up. On their way back from the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, they realized Jesus was not with them. And that was an embarrassing parenting moment. Well, I thought you had him. I thought he was with you. When they found him in Jerusalem at the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking questions, they scolded him. "Son, why have you treated us like this?" He said in Luke 2:49, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" My guess is that Mary regularly had these kinds of experiences with Jesus that left her wondering, "God, what are you going to do with this child?" As we see Mary's life, we have to remember every parent has normal struggles raising kids. Parenting, no matter what the age of our kids, calls for everything we've got. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Mentally, what do we do in each stage? Infant, toddler, young child, adolescent, young adult, older adult. Emotionally, how am I going to deal with all these emotions? Frustration, anger, despair, exhaustion, inadequacy, anxiety, fear. Spiritually, what spiritual principles can guide me, Lord? Love, grace, forgiveness, faith in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit for wisdom and guidance. Through the church, we experience community, small group fellowship, encouragement. From the Scripture, we gain knowledge, insight, truth. Yet, still, parenting is not easy. Owen Wister, an old college friend of Teddy Roosevelt, was visiting him at the White House. Roosevelt's daughter, Alice, kept running in and out of the room until finally Wister asked if there wasn't something Roosevelt could do to control her. "Well," said the president, "I can do one of two things. I can be the president of the United States, or I can control Alice. I cannot possibly do both." Well, remember this, from Mary to presidents and on down, we all have normal struggles raising kids. So, Mary had great expectations. She dealt with the normal struggles as a parent, and she held her hopes and dreams in her heart. And yet, Mary also experienced terrible sorrow, post-sorrow in the chat. Simeon, the old man in the temple, had warned her in Luke 2:34, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Mary knew sorrow. Her cousin Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, was beheaded by Herod. She was aware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees' opposition, aware of the forces of opposition that at times came against Jesus. But she was also aware of the power of God. She always had a mother's heart. Great hopes of what could happen, great concern for what could go wrong. She was there on Palm Sunday with great hopes. She was there on Good Friday with great sorrow and anguish. Mary experienced the horror of his death more deeply than anyone. She had carried Jesus in her womb. She had received the angel Gabriel's promise. She had witnessed the miracle of Jesus' life, and then she watched him die. Imagine all the questions she had in the midst of that horror. "God, what are you doing? God, how has it come to this? God, what about all the promises?" Mary experienced terrible sorrow, and sometimes we parents experience terrible sorrow too. There's always the possibility of a broken relationship with a child. Many parents experience the loss of a child to the world, the broad road that leads to destruction. Some parents experience the death of a child. I can't imagine a sorrow deeper than that. Our loss recently of our daughter Rachel's pre-birth twins has been very difficult for us. I have an aunt who lost two of her three sons, my cousins, to death. One in a tragic tractor accident, the other in a gun accident. I can't even imagine what she has felt all these years. What I have observed is my aunt has never quite been the same. She still practices her faith. She still is faithful every Sunday and then some, but her countenance is not quite the same. Maybe you know someone who's experienced terrible sorrow as a parent. Express empathy and extend grace to them in every way. Some parents carry deep sorrow around in their hearts. Well, we know that before he died, Jesus asked his disciple John to care for his mother. I imagine for the rest of that Friday and all of the day Saturday, there were times of questions and anguish and pain for John and Mary. But on Sunday, the ray of hope, the ray of light came. It was Mary Magdalene and the other women who came saying, "He's alive." Though the disciples couldn't believe it initially, I imagine Mary's heart immediately jumped at the words about her son. She was more invested than anyone else. She had seen and experienced more than anyone else. She had hidden too many things in her heart all those years. One last thing to see from her story. Mary experienced resurrection hope. The hopes and dreams and expectations that she had hid in her heart came into full bloom with the news of Jesus' resurrection. She had walked away from Calvary devastated. And the next time we see her is back in the upper room elated. What a transformation a few days can make. We read in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What a different atmosphere in the air when you've seen resurrection power and you have resurrection hope. At Calvary, Mary was filled with anguish, questions, and pain. After the resurrection, she experienced joy, gladness, and even laughter again because of the resurrection hope that was alive. Because of what God had done, Mary was never the same. Remember this, whatever your circumstances, because of Jesus' resurrection, there is always hope. You may be struggling as a parent or a grandparent. There is help in the risen Christ. You may have experienced a terrible loss, death of a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, a child, a friend. You may have experienced a broken relationship, a separation, a divorce. Whatever your loss or grief, there is healing in the risen Christ. You may be facing overwhelming circumstances that you don't see any way out of at work, among friends or family, in your finances. There is hope in the risen Christ. Hope is alive. Mary learned what we can learn. Remember this, even in the midst of the darkest night, hope rises. God is real. Even when we can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, we continue to hold on to our faith. For Mary, Friday was a dark day, but Sunday was coming. There's always hope. We serve the God of resurrection hope. Hope is alive. Let's celebrate it. Let's count on it. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, loving Lord. Mary had quite a journey of faith. From Jesus' birth in Bethlehem to his death on Calvary, she had a lot to hold on to and ponder in her heart, and her faith was dreadfully tested as she watched Jesus suffer and die on the cross. And just when her darkness seemed unbearable, intolerable, a new light of hope sprang forth. Lord, we need Mary's faith today. You may need help at work or hope in your circumstances or healing in your relationships. If that's you today, Lord, I pray that you will meet each one searching today with the resurrection power, with the resurrection hope they need. Oh, Lord, bring help, hope, healing. You may need Christ. You may say that my life is a mess. It's unmanageable. I haven't been able to live it well on my own. I need a power from on high. Well, that power is Jesus Christ. If you need Christ, you can receive him today. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I don't have my life figured out. In fact, I mess it up. I need you. Come with your love and your truth and your grace today. Forgive me. Wash me. Save me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, I hope you'll tell somebody about it. I would love to hear about it too. If you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you again for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, because Jesus was raised back to life, Mary experienced resurrection hope. Her hope was alive. For now, who do you know that needs to know this same resurrection hope in their life? You tell them about it.
So this weekend, I accidentally drank a bottle of disappearing ink.
You did?
Yeah. Then I spent the whole weekend at the ER waiting to be seen.
That's good. Our last first Wednesday of the spring features a special concert by the Tulsa Festival Ringers and a testimony from the Coffee Bunker. The Coffee Bunker supports veterans and their families in their transition to civilian life through personal and professional development. Join us at First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Mark your calendars for a one-day retreat at Camp Lockridge. $35 gets you breakfast, lunch, and a day of fellowship with other men. The van leaves at 7:30 a.m. and sign-up is at the Connect Center.
Every stage of parenting has its challenges. We have a monthly support group for hurting parents of adult children that will meet April 16th at 5 p.m. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.